You can see by what's on the screen that we're beginning a new series from the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was given to the Apostle John. What is the prophetic revelation that describes how this age of human history is brought to an end and what comes next and why. And is full of symbols and cities and animals and creatures and colors and numbers and names and churches and angels and peoples and thrones, and he gets to rule, and judgments and bowls and instruments and cataclysmic catastrophes and devastation and heaven and hell and death and life and gardens and trees and meals and future history and even some place in all of that, us. Not to understate or overstate the obvious, all that can be just a tad confusing, right? If not, it's really difficult to try to unpack, and one reason why some of us hesitate to preach the entirety of this letter, which is what we're launching into this morning. But it is, because it is the last book that we need to look at if we've been adventuring through the Bible for the last 3 years since Genesis. So, having said that, make sure your safety bars are in down and locked position, keep your arms and legs inside the sanctuary, so the sermon comes to a complete stop, right? So, just hang on. Hang in there with us. This morning, we are looking at the first 8 verses of this revelation, which is called the prologue. Whether it's John's greetings and instructions, John identifying himself and who he's writing to and what that's about and why. So if you are able, if you would stand with me, we're going to come before God's Word together. And if you would, read with me out loud. Let us read John's prologue together. Let's read. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the 7 churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father, thank you for the opportunity to come before your word this morning. If you have inspired and preserved your word for us. We pray that as you come as your people before you, that you would speak to us this morning from your word, not me speaking, God. There is a reason why we are looking at this today, and we pray that your purposes, your will would be accomplished in our lives. Help us to hear you. God, take what is head knowledge and put it in our hearts. Help us to live before you in ways to please you and bring glory to your name. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You will be seated. So, Revelation translates the Greek word apocalypse, which is why sometimes this is called the what? The apocalypse, right? So what's an apocalypse? An apocalypse is God revealing truth. It's God revealing truth to God about who he is himself and what he's doing, why he's doing it. And here, this revelation is prophetic, what God will do and why God will do it. And so we need to be careful with that because there are some really solid Bible teachers that have taught on this revelation and they have fallen into this trap of stating with great certainty what will happen and how that will happen and when that will happen, and they speak with great certainty and on they go, prediction after prediction, and they're all wrong, which cheapens the purpose of God's prophetic revelation. Let's be clear. Prophecy is not about knowing events. Prophecy is about knowing God. God doesn't give us a list of signs to look for and debate about so we can trust each other about what we think we know. God reveals himself in prophecy so we can know God. Not about God, but know God deeply and intimately. And so God's prophetic revelation is intended by the sovereign God to draw us closer to him, to give us a glimpse behind the scenes of history to where and how and why God is working in his relationship with mankind, to grab his sovereignty and all that in order to increase our knowing him, how he works, and what is God passionate about, in order to go deeper in our relationship with God, to trust in God, to deepen our trust in God, to increase our faith in God, to help us to strive forward towards greater obedience and following after God. Are you better on that? Okay, so verse 1 tells us this revelation is about who? Jesus, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ. So before we go any farther into this revelation that God gives us, we need to make sure that we're solid on that one bottom line truth. It's about Jesus. All right, can we say that together? It's about Jesus. So as much as we might be tempted to think that this revelation is about symbols and creatures and angels and thrones and cities and judgments, catastrophes and devastation, supposing that may be us, the revelation is about Jesus, right? Jesus Christ. And we're going to get totally messed up and totally miss the point and totally miss the blessing if we forget that one truth, right? Which is that many have. So all of what's here, all the symbols and all the numbers and all whatever, it's all there to focus us on the centrality of Jesus. Why? So that we are drawn closer to God. The revelation of Jesus Christ that God gives us is to draw closer to God. And God gave this. David has the idea of delegation. So God gave the revelation to Jesus with purpose. Let's explore that. Jesus is to show, he is to make known to his servants, third word in Greek, servant is slave, to his slave. Those who are living in faithful obedience to Jesus. God gives this revelation of Jesus to Jesus to make known to his servants what must then take place. And soon, right, is a matter of perspective. God's version of soon, God's perspective of soon, is probably a whole lot different than our version of soon, or what he says must soon take place, which isn't the point. The issue here, dialing on this, the issue is that it must soon take place. So because of this, because this is about what God is doing and will do, that Jesus is the central focus of, and God wants us to know that, why? Draw us closer to him. Alright? So let's pray. Make sure we're together on a big picture of what it is that must seem to place what this is all about. Alright. So in January of 2017, we began a study through the Bible beginning in Genesis and creation, with Adam, who represented all of us, Adam disobeying God, saying that each of us is born into sin and we get drawn to sin, Adam's choice by our own sin. Remember this? This is the almost a familiar backstory, right? So moving through the Old Testament, we saw God at work. We learned the sin purposefully and intentionally, working through history, working through promises and covenants and sacrifices and kingdoms and nations, and working through real people and real situations in real time, fathers and kings and queens and shepherds and ordinary people like us. And God revealing through all that the big picture of what God is doing about our brokenness and sin and separation from God. God who loves us, how God is healing us, what separates us from Him, and dealing and restoring us, inviting us back into relationship with Him. It's about knowing God. All of this points forward to Jesus Christ. And when we arrive in the New Testament, we focus on Mark's Gospel. Take a year and a half in Mark's Gospel. Mark begins that with the word what? The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. The Gospel is about Jesus. The Gospel is Jesus. Jesus is a good picture of who and what God is doing to redeem and restore us to the relationship with Him. Jesus is the central focus and the central reality of the Gospel. And the Gospel is that by grace alone, through faith alone, by Jesus Christ alone, we are saved. And those who believe in the Gospel, who by faith receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, become children of God. This is relationship with God. And we study that. How we fit into the big picture of what God did next and what God is doing here and now. The outward expansion of the Gospel of Jesus Christ into the Roman Empire and beyond. Even from the dead, God calling people to relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Which brings us to this revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to Jesus to make known to the church, even us, of what must soon take place. This is all about Jesus. So if you want to go deeper with God, we need to know more what God is doing in the world and what God calls us to, how we're supposed to live in the midst of all of that. We need to be looking at Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus does, what Jesus teaches, what it means to live faithfully, obeying Jesus as His servants, and what that's going to look like in the days ahead, which is what God is pulling us into in this revelation, because it's all about Jesus.
Paul gives us a glimpse of who this Jesus is. And who is Jesus? He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, from heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, of rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, Him, things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent, first in everything. For in Him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, fully God, fully man, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, as we see by the blood of the cross. We need to be coming back and humbled by who Jesus is. So this revelation that belongs to Jesus, it's about Jesus, Jesus is the revealer, and He's the revelation, He's the glue that holds it all together, He's the good picture of the eternal pieces of the prophetic puzzle. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is what God gave Jesus Christ to serve with the things that must, that will seem to take place, because God wills them to take place. This is where God is going with all of that. Jesus sends His angel to the Apostle John, who bears witness to John's personal Christ revelation, and then His word and then testifies to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. This is God's going on. All about Jesus. So this means that blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of His prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it to the time of year. What's going to happen? So this is the first of seven blessings. As blessed is, right? There's seven blessings in the book of Revelation. And, you know, which is serious to think about, because we often associate the book of Revelation with what? Devastation, destruction, a lot of horrible things happening, right? But in the midst of that, grab onto that, is this. In the midst of that, is God's promise of future blessing. And blessed is, it turns into the Greek word makarios, which is a whole lot more than just having some sort of surface passing emotion that things, well, things are going pretty good today, so I feel blessed, right? Yeah.
has the idea of a profound sense of potential well-being, of being rightly aligned at the core of who we are, being centered on what is important in life, and experiencing the peace and calmness in our hearts as a result. So, in the midst of this dog-eat-dog world we live in, the survival of the politically correct world we live in, the security of these modern times, and the spinning out of control, God offers us something tremendously different. And faith is what is true that my spiritual faith, what are even more burdens to God, that God tells you, you can turn. God offers us to the world, he offers us to the vision for our lives, he offers us to the vision for our lives. So when we stand together, I think we are trying to understand the Word of God. We stand together and stand and read together out loud God's Word. It helps us to remind that we are before God and His Word, that when we pull Him together, and it helps us to read together and keep focused on what we're reading. You know, we are trying to slow down and take faith and attention to what it is you're actually reading. Only lots of times that we are all going to try to keep that healthy focus. The theater has to use the meaning of intentionally working with understanding the meaning of what it is that we slow down to read what we're hearing. It's all about perception, comprehension, intuition. Intuition is more than just doing. It's also about the meaning of guidance and discernment, discussing what it is that we heard. It means to make certain perception of it for ourselves. So valiant what we heard that it becomes central to how we do life. So integral, so valuable that we will not let anything or anyone rob us or keep us back from doing what it is that we're here. Most all things we allow here to be and necessary to be blessed. We can do this because prophetic revelation is about more deeply knowing God. And it's about how we're responding because of what God reveals to us about Himself. It's like God is saying, if you think things are bad now, just look around the world you're in, all right? If you think things are bad now, just wait. Okay, but just this, you can be thankful for all that. It's what I've been doing in the past and what I'm doing now and what I will do in the future. You keep walking through this. That's it, okay? And I'm letting you know that, so to do this, or if you finish your words, you will trust in me more. Because I will bless you as you do this. Trust me. I'm God. God in life, you don't show us who you need to be, what we're going to do over and over as we go through this revelation. It's about Jesus. It's the quality of everything that is in the God is doing. John is not referring to these seven specific churches, but these seven churches are representative of the complete list of all churches to the Greek side. Very fast. We're going to learn more about those seven churches next Sunday, and then as we get into the chapter 2 and 3, we'll see the Greek side. We will need to move on to the next chapter. Thank you. step by step to their relationship with God, to the drama of our lives. The Jesus is the opposite of the heart level form of the world.
God, who gives Israel hope as they're being threatened by Babylon. God will strengthen and uphold and help his people. And then he moves to the Holy Spirit. The seven spirits are before the throne. Seven, meaning not seven in Holy Spirit, but seven means what? Perfection, fullness, perfection, and completeness. Right? Zechariah is a prophet. In different places this happens. Zechariah prophetically connects all that with the Holy Spirit. The reference is up there. Seven describing the perception and fullness and fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit. He lays on you to Jesus, the faithful witness, who is the firstborn from the dead, resurrected, what is all about Jesus' saving work. And Jesus is the ruler of the kings on earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus, who has loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Jesus, who has made us to be a kingdom through his work on the cross, who brought us into citizenship in God's kingdom, came to serve and bring work to worship to God the Father. Jesus, his glory comes by us, his dominion to create us, his glory to lead us to the path of God to serve us, and God to talk to us. Jesus will come with all the divine authority and power and glory on full display, and everyone on earth will see him when he comes. I am the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. God is the God of the past and of the future, A to Z. God who is meaning and meaning the God of everything in between. God is the Almighty God who is able, who has creation and recreation in His hands. And no thing or no one can ever alter what He has chosen to do. He rules over it all. It all fulfills His purposes, what He's been doing even since Genesis. And there is no possibility that history or creation and what must soon take place, none of it will ever spin out of His control. The Lord God, who reveals to us what He is about to do, who desires to bless us, who is the source of grace and peace, is the Almighty God who is mighty in every moment of drama that is faced by those who are serving to Jesus Christ. And in whatever they face or will face, He is our God, who is the supreme Lord of all. Yeah. The bottom line of what we're being introduced to here in John's prologue, it grabbed it, the centrality of Jesus Christ, the sovereignty of God, and the blessings of God's grace and peace being intense for all believers. Sovereignty of Jesus, sovereignty of God, blessings, God's grace and peace for those who know Him. Talk to some of that. And how do we respond to that? That's huge. And that's only the first 8 verses. Two takeaways. First, God's prophetic revelation should form our response to the drama around us. It should inform us and reform us in how we respond to what swirls around us. So on the left is who? Hit a button. There we go. Okay. One more click. There we go. So on the left is who? Yeah. President Trump, right? On the right is who? Yeah, Xi Jinping, right? President of China, okay? So, here's a question. Thinking about how this influence and reforms how we respond to what swirls around us, all right? Is the trade war with China about egos and economics? Or is it about, a dictator called the president of China, and hold on to his power, and a U.S. president who's working in his first re-election to try to get up over it? I'm going to go to the next slide. the central focus of our lives? Either we're trusting God, we're living dependent on God for His blessings, His peace, and His grace and peace, and all of that. Either we're experiencing God's blessings of grace and peace, relying solely on Him in the midst of the drama in our life, or not. Either we're living in service to Jesus Christ, or not. And He is from the fullness of the crying of God, the grace and peace is supplied to us. The reading of this, the reality of what God reveals to us. To us about Himself, what He's done, what He's doing for us, what He's doing. Jesus is here, thankful for all that. But we need to come up here and say, thank you, God. The God's revelation is an encouragement to us individually and on this renewal Sunday to us as a congregation, expressing to God as He faces you. Father, thank you for the revelation you've given to us and the way it's time to think about what more you will show us and teach us about as we look through this book. Thank you, Father, that the revelation you've given to us and purposes, what you want to do, and what you want to do.